Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, our good friend Jason Gibbs back after he was ripped away from our bosom to be on a conference call rudely.
Man,
it's good to have you back.
There's a lot going on. You know, Simon,
we love you on the show.
You guys were talking about Browns. I overheard speaker. You were talking about some Browns quarterback or something like
Browns
that.
Browns Radio Network.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Getting ready for the pregame.
That's good. You know what? You have
this
5 o'clock
right
to
now.
6 o'clock to do that.
This is happening right now.
I
got to
be at practice.
Okay. 3 to 6?
I'll tell you what. I think you're such a valuable asset that if I was your program director, I'd make sure you were plugged in all the time to your show. This is your show. This is as much your show, Gibbs.
You saw the tweet
as
yesterday
it is my show,
from G.I. George.
As it is Matt Wilhelm's show. As it is the Dog Pound show. As it's Dino's show.
Dino's like.
You're familiar.
We had Carucci on yesterday. Dino's like the godfather. He and Carucci together.
This is true.
They were like
something
the
like
dynamic
that.
Duo that started.
Did you guys work together like to birth it from Notorious's loins?
No. When you said that.
Was it your open hands?
When you
that,
said
that,
that
you
yesterday, I almost fell off my chair. I'm the consigliere to his godfather. We'll say that.
Yes. Yes, you are. And if you can't get enough of Jason Gibbs, and I, who can? The Dog Pound, you can tune into the Cleveland Browns Mike Pettine show tonight at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 850, hosted by myself and Ken Carmen. Actually, I'm not hosting.
You're
tonight.
Not hosting tonight. I was going to say, I'm like, you're not hosting that anymore.
Gerard is hosting tonight, and I will call in with a live look-in from St. John Fisher College. So it'll be Gerard and Ken Carmen tonight.
Just with the weather situation. Yeah. I guess it just stormed over there.
Oh, no.
Like in the last half hour. So, and there are plenty of storms in the area. Some big thunder boomers. So,
do you know that nobody would have heard the thunder boomer if you were still on that conference call in the middle of our show?
Yeah. Maybe that's a positive for people.
Thunder boomer. I've never heard that before.
Come on, man.
Is that like a thunder assassin?
I don't know.
All right.
Jim Kelly's going to be here tonight.
Jim Kelly will be here.
It's a big night.
Thurman Thomas was there yesterday. Andre Reed was there. Okay. And Andre Reed bought you a drink last night.
Yes, he did. He did not come on our show, but he bought us drinks.
Which is better, I think.
It was good. It was good. The bartender was a big Browns fan.
Could you imagine if you had to be on a conference call and missed out on a drink from Andre Reed?
No.
Terrible.
Take
that mentality into Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, I do my best here, guys.
We're not blaming you. Right now, we're shooting the messenger.
So here's the rest of our day.
You're not blaming me either, are you, Nathan?
No, you are not.
Okay. We're not.
So,
exonerated.
Like at 3:15, we huddle up with Coach. We've got to record some things for Coach for the network for this week.
Yep.
And for tonight.
Yes.
And then we're on a bus at 4.
Are we doing two interviews with Coach back to back? Ooh, he loves that.
No, he does not. It's gonna be rough. Huh? And then like at 4:30, we're on a bus. We're there by 5 o'clock and it's work time. And then till like 8, we come back here at by 9 o'clock. Like this is no. This
You're taking
is no
a bus
vacation.
To practice?
Yeah.
You can ride with me if you want.
No, because you park like 4 miles away from the facility.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought I was somebody, but I'm nothing.
I tried to. Not here in Rochester.
You can ride with me. I'm gonna try to park closer.
I don't understand why you guys don't have parking.
Maybe we will by the time this is over. Maybe if you got on a
conference call. Because we do a show without a producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not important enough to get your attention. Why would they give us a parking pass?
Even in the flesh, you walk right out of the room. You're like, silver mallet is more important than me.
Wow.
Let's go.
I don't even know what.
Let's go to James in Cleveland right now. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jimmy.
What's up, James? Yes, sir.
I was saying, this line has always been known as a pass blocking line. They say Joe Thomas was best pass blocking line. They're so used to standing up and backpedaling that they never got practice firing out. You know, they didn't have any guards to run sweeps or pulling guards. They just haven't learned how to open a hole up. They're still in that mode, and guys bum rush them.
I think you're right about that, and I've talked about it. I think it is a line that you could say is built to be a tremendous pass blocking line and is a very good pass blocking line. And I think it suited, you know, what Norv Turner was doing here a couple years ago very well. And they're light, so they fit the movement of Kyle Shanahan. But if you're going to run a combination of zone and power, you need to get that push. And I think that's something they got to get that mentality and keep getting those reps and that chemistry.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be very important for this team. And you make a great point, James.
They don't practice firing out. They haven't. You know, so these teams bum rush them. The other guy they traded, the back, the veteran, he was getting touched in the backfield, and that's a problem. So your backs will never get loose if they can't pop that hole open. That's, to me, Mitchell Schwartz, that was a problem for them. You know, but they love him, so, you know. It's just my opinion.
No, I hear you. I think that it is very true that this team needs to open holes. We talked about in the preseason opener. Crow, 4 carries for 6 yards, 7 yards after contact. West, 4 carries for 10 yards, 10 yards after contact. You got to get down the field.
You definitely do. But the one thing that I want to make a point of is you cannot take away the mentality and toughness of these players and blame it simply on the scheme. You know, we need a culmination of both of these two things. It's like you can be a bully as an offensive lineman and play in a zone scheme. Just because we're playing in a zone scheme doesn't mean we have to be finesse.
Correct.
You know, so, and that's what I want to see tonight, because this is going to be one of the best defensive lines in all of football, at least for, you know, front five. And they make the inside linebackers, you know, look amazing, you know, being scot-free in most cases. But I want to see those combo blocks. I want to see the overtakes. I want to see our backs with the ability to be decisive and put that foot in the ground, because that's what we saw when we were at our best last year. And it's come in. We've had those same type of runs in the same flashes that you've said you see, you know, greatness out of Justin Gilbert. You see it, and then it goes away. I want to see it consistently, and it doesn't have to be, you know, everything doesn't go for 15-plus yards, you know, but I want to see a guy hit the line downhill,
yes,
you know, be able to put his foot in the ground, get 3 yards, and then again, make a guy miss, run a guy over, run out of an arm tackle, whatever it might be, for that 5, 6, 7, 8 yard gain. Those chunky type of runs.
That's what we want to see, those chunk runs for this team, and starting imposing their will, having a drive where we talked about where they do run it, you know, 10 times or 8 times on a drive and move down the field. That would be great.
Look at the second half of the Steelers game last year, in the opener.
Yeah, that's exactly what
they did.
We
ran when we wanted to.
I do what I want. And what I want to do now is hear from Travis Benjamin.
Let's do it.
Who talked with reporters after practice yesterday.
Just comment generally on your training camp, your preseason.
It was going great so far, and me and McCown was exactly on the right page, and we just wanted to come out here to Buffalo today and compete.
Travis, how do you think the offense did as a whole today on these kind of drills?
Did pretty decent. We always get better. We have a couple mistakes from the line standpoint, couple drops from the receiver, so we can always come out here and get better every day.
What's it like being out here against different DBs, and how much does that ramp up the competition?
Oh, it's ramped up like a game situation. You always trying to win and make sure everything you do is something good on the tape, because then again, 31 other teams is out here watching, and we just come out here to compete to get better every day.
Travis, how big of a year is this for you in terms of your career?
Oh, it's a big for me. Going to my final year of my contract with the Browns and just willing to go out here and just put everything on the line for the Browns as much as I can.
Are you playing for the next team, or are you playing for now, or are you playing for your future? How do you see
I'm playing it? For now. I don't look far in the future. I'm just playing for the Browns right now, and hopefully if things work out the way, I'll be here another couple more years if God's given. But other than that, I'm playing for the Browns right now.
Hey, can I ask you this? Is it your touchdown the other night? It seems like they lose you in the back of the end zone. The 2 touchdowns in Tennessee last year, it's again, people, you're like in the back edge of the end zone. The one in Pittsburgh, you're in the corner. Do people lose you, or is that something you work on a great deal?
I say my quickness and my speed, once I get to go in one direction, it's full speed ahead. And if you off balance as a DB, and once I get into my break, I'm always going to be open.
Yeah. I mean, McCown was amazed at how open you were.
He kind of adjusts to it now. He knows that whenever I'm on the field and he sees the advantage, he's going to me no matter what. So we have a great connection with each other.
Travis, can you talk about your guys' defensive backs, so many of them are injured right now.
Yeah.
What impact is that having on the work that you guys are getting against your own DBs?
Then again, it still work. It don't matter who's out there. Even if it's Joe Hayden, Gilbert, or whoever on the field, we out there to compete. We don't turn down take a step back because guys are injured. We going out there every day willing to compete.
That's Travis Benjamin, who's had one of the best camps for your Cleveland Browns. A year removed from that ACL, 2 years removed now, looks faster, looks more confident, and his play is showing it. He seems to be consistently producing for this team, which is great to see, and I think it's locked down that sixth receiver spot that we've talked about so much. Let's go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We got Larry in Elyria. Larry, what's up?
Larry.
Larry, how are you?
Hey, Larry.
He's not there. No, Larry.
I've always thought Larry's always there. I'm stunned.
Is he there now?
No, he's not there.
No. You know what name I'd like to see get more run? Larome.
Come on.
A combination of Larry and Jerome.
Larome.
Larome. Maybe that'll be the name of my next dog.
I was just gonna say.
That goes
on next
in your dog? Mind, dude.
Yeah.
Your next dog? No, name your next kid Larome.
I don't think I'm gonna have any more children.
All right. Then Larome will be your dog. Or like a frog or something.
Larome.
Larome.
Get over here, Larome. I think there's something there. I think there's something there.
I don't know what goes on in your head.
You just found out.
Up there.
You just found out.
You never know.
What is going on?
He's like Munch. He has ninjas in his head.
Larome. Yeah. Bronze Sledge. Although I can't take credit for that. Came into my head from some other, out of the mouth of another genius. Anyway, Travis Benjamin has been fantastic.
He has.
And
he has.
I think right now, we talked about Taylor Gabriel was the best receiver on the team early.
In spring,
especially the best vertical receiver. I think right now Travis Benjamin's been the best vertical receiver lately.
Three guys had big games yesterday, big practices yesterday wide receiver-wise. Travis Benjamin was the best.
Taylor
Gabriel was solid. And Josh Lentz.
Yep. 0% chance.
Josh Lentz. That's not putting a chalupa in your
that's
belly, hyping
you
him up
know.
Right there.
That's all.
No, I think,
you need to know.
And you can see, you know, out of the gates to get the start versus the Redskins at wide receiver. You know, caught those couple speed outs.
Uh-huh.
He's targeted. You know, we had the one drop that still kind of reigns supreme in my mind in practice down in the red zone.
I remember that.
You know, right
on
through his hand. Exactly, right through his hands. Should have had it, bobbled it, and then dropped it. He's a guy that, as we heard yesterday in the comments from Mike Pettine or in the other day, I believe it was Friday maybe, that, you know, he's a starting punt returner, which means he's a shoo-in to make this roster unless he gets hurt. So if I'm Terrell Pryor, you know, knowing that you're going to keep him, is there a battle with Vince Maley, or is Vince Maley going to make this team? Because he's another guy that we've been kind of banking on.
He's a fourth rounder.
He looked good yesterday. He may have had some nice catches in traffic yesterday, especially on that one deep post where he really went. I think Vince Maley makes. I think there's.
But I'm just saying, he's like
different.
There are Browns fans out there, you know, that are saying move on from Justin Gilbert, who's a former first round pick, you know. And I've been a part of organizations before that actually have cut in. I don't want to say maybe a fourth round pick, but like fifth, sixth, seventh round picks are very easily cuttable, you know, simply because you drafted them late. You can expense those picks late in a draft. But I would love to see Vince Maley become the role that Dwayne Bowe will play for this team this year and maybe next year. And then the next era, as I said, Ibrahim Campbell being the heir apparent to Dante Whitner, that Vince Maley becomes the heir apparent to the type of career that Dwayne Bowe has had throughout Kansas City. We hope he continues here in Cleveland.
We certainly do hope to see that in Cleveland. Now, I think that he brings just a different skill set, a different physicality, and as you said, heir apparent to Dwayne Bowe. I think you're exactly right about that. 216-578-0850. We've got Jay on a cell. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, I just wanted to touch on the defense, specifically the outside linebackers. I think that the running game or the opposing team's running game is really going to is really determined based on how well our outside linebackers play. I've seen too many times this year in the scrimmage and also last year where the outside linebackers will knife in and get caught in the wash. And I just wanted to know you guys' opinion about it.
Yep. And that's something that we've been talking about, setting the edge, maintaining your gap integrity, making sure that you don't dip in and give up those big bounce outs to the outside. That's something that was, and it was clearly a point of emphasis in practice yesterday. They did a good job of doing that, of setting that edge.
It was, and I know there are, when the emphasis happens throughout, you know, just prior to when you go out on the field for practice, you see that in that practice, and then what you hope to see is that becomes part of the mentality of playing outside linebacker in this defense, and it carries over into the game because as you go into the game, a coach is not just going to give you, hey, let's make sure we contain the defense. It's like the full, you know, the full ball of wax that they have to be ready for, but it needs to become instinctual. And that's something that right now we've seen come into question both last year with our ability to set the edge. We saw happen in the first opportunity versus the Washington Redskins. It's like it wasn't an instinct to set the edge. It was an instinct to go inside. Well, that needs to be fixed. Yesterday was a good day. Today's going to be a great day. The Bills, of course, will challenge us Thursday night. I want to see it then as well. When it becomes, when it's your instinct to set the edge, set that hard edge, and let your playmakers, Dansby, Robertson, Christian Kirksey, Whitner, fit
funnel
properly,
it back at the big
and funnel it back and funnel it back inside and make those plays, then you start to be a believer, and you know, in fact, that it will actually carry over to the regular season.
Yeah, and you've talked about every 3-4 run defense that you've been in was great against the run because you set the edge and force it up the middle where you have the numbers advantage.
Yeah, you know, in a 3-4 defense, like the Chicago Bears or any Tampa 2 defense, you know, Charles Tillman, those guys, you want your corners to be great tacklers in that cover 2 defense. They're built into the run support, which allows your two safeties to be in half field, you know, coverage. But when you play a 3-4 defense, your corners don't have to make a lot of tackles.
Oh.
You know, unless a play does bounce and it's more of a bailout type of tackle or a pass reception where you're making a tackle on the wide receiver. So your core, that 7 or 8 man front, needs to be the guys responsible for making that play. And like I said, that's something that I'm yearning for, you know, in some cases, to be able to sit down with Coach Pettine or Jim O'Neill and understand that, the concept of how they fit the run. Because you splatter it wide or you hammer it back inside.
All right, let's go back to the phone. I like that. Hammer it back inside.
That's what we used to call it.
Mallet it.
Splatter it or hammer it.
Lavelle in Westlake, welcome to the show.
Mallet it.
How you guys
Sledging.
Doing?
Sledging. What's up, Lavelle?
Good. Yeah, just to touch on the run defense real quick. You know, when I played, they always taught us, you know, we ran a 3-5 in high school, and they told us, you know, keep your outside shoulder free. You know, even if you are getting blocked, you should be able to at least push it back in or grab the guy and wait till help gets there. There's, like, just nobody there on some of these run plays. Like, guys are disappearing out the action. But I really want to touch on our defensive line and who you guys think will make the team. We have a plethora of really good defensive linemen. I think Armani Bryant is actually one of the better pass-rushing defensive linemen we have on our team. But, you know, we have him, Desmond Bryant, Phil Taylor, and – who's going to win between Phil Taylor and Danny Shelton for that nose tackle spot? That's about 600 pounds of anger right there.
I think Danny Shelton's going to win that battle. All right, Matt, let's start with you. So let's break down. We talked earlier on the show, we listed 11 defensive linemen who we think are in the conversation to make this team.
Yep.
Who are your locks? Who's on the bubble for you?
Danny Shelton is a lock. Xavier Cooper is a lock.
Shelton. Cooper, agreed.
Dez Bryant is a lock.
Agree.
Starks is a lock.
Agree.
John Hughes is a lock.
Agree.
How many does that put us at? Six?
That's five.
Armonte Bryant.
I believe Armonte
is
a lock. Yep, that's
as well. Because of his diversity, especially with Mingo out. That's six. I would say Phil Taylor, because of the guaranteed $5 million, is probably a lock to make this team right now.
Okay. I'm going to put him on the bubble.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm going to put Billy, my man, and I love him.
Billy Wynn's on the bubble.
I'm going to put Billy Wynn on the bubble. Put Ishmaely Kitchen on the bubble.
Yep.
And then I'm going to put two surprises
Dylan.
Kind of in the bubble. Dylan Wynn and Jamie Meter.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at it, when it all shakes out, I think on a 3-4, it's the most you can carry seven.
Yeah.
Eight.
Seven.
Seven's probably the most.
Yeah.
So from that group of Taylor Wynn, Ish Kitch, Dylan Wynn, and Jamie Meter.
Five guys for one spot.
Five guys for one spot, and then maybe Dylan Wynn could go practice squad if that's if that's how it would shake out. But
as could Meter.
I think it's interesting. I do think that teams are going to call. You don't give away good players, and I do think teams are going to call, and I think there will be some trade possibilities for this defensive line, some machinations, as it were. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. He'll be our guest here, breaking down what he saw yesterday, what he hopes to see tonight. As the Bills and Browns hook up for the second joint practice tonight at 6 p.m. St. John Fisher College. We're live from the team hotel in Rochester. Zagura Wilhelm, Gibbs, CBD, ESPN 850.